Good morning, Church. My name is Elizabeth, and I have the privilege of reading the Bible this morning. For those who have the Church Bibles, it's on page 825. Mark chapter 13. As Jesus was leaving the temple, one of his disciples said to him, "Look, teacher, what massive stones, what magnificent buildings. Do you see all these great buildings?" replied Jesus. "Not one stone here will be left on another. Every one will be thrown down." As Jesus was sitting on the Mount of Olives opposite the temple, Peter, James, John, and Andrew asked him privately, "Tell us, when will these things happen, and what will be the sign that they are all about to be fulfilled?" Jesus said to them, "Watch out that no one deceives you. Many will come in my name, claiming, 'I am he,' and will deceive many. When you hear of wars and rumors of wars, do not be alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. Nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be earthquakes in various places and famines. These are the beginning of birth pains. You must be on your guard. You'll be handed over to the local councils and flogged in synagogues. On account of me, you will stand before governors and kings as witnesses to them. And the gospel must first be preached to all nations. Whenever you are arrested and brought to trial, do not worry beforehand about what to say. Just say whatever is given to you at the time, for it is not you speaking, but the Holy Spirit. Brother will betray brother to death, and a father his child. Children will rebel against their parents and have them put to death. Everyone will hate you because of me, but the one who stands firm to the end will be saved. When you see the abomination that causes desolation standing where it does not belong, let the reader understand. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let no one on the housetop go down or enter the house to take anything out. Let no one in the field go back to get their cloak. How dreadful it will be in those days for pregnant women and nursing mothers. Pray that this will not take place in winter, because those will be days of distress unequaled from the beginning when God created the world until now, and never to be equaled again. If the Lord had not cut short those days, no one would survive. But for the sake of the elect, whom he has chosen, he has shortened them. At that time, if anyone says to you, 'Look, here is the Messiah,' or 'Look, there he is,' do not believe it. For false messiahs and false prophets will appear and perform signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. So be on your guard. I have told you everything ahead of time. But in those days, following that distress, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from the sky and the heavenly bodies will be shaken. At that time, people will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory, and he will send his angels and gather his elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the end of the heavens. Now learn this lesson from the fig tree. As soon as its twigs get tender and its leaves come out, you know that summer is near. Even so, when you see these things happening, you know that it is near, right at the door. Truly I tell you, This generation will certainly not pass away until all these things have happened. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. But about that day or hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Be on guard. Be alert. You do not know when that time will come. It's like a man going away. He leaves his house and puts his servants in charge, each with their assigned task. And he tells the one at the door to keep watch. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know when the owner of the house will come back, whether in the evening or at midnight, or when the rooster crows, or at dawn. If he comes suddenly, do not let him find you sleeping. What I say to you, I say to everyone, watch.
G'day again, everyone. Good to be with you this morning. Well done, Liz. Long reading, well done. And also, can I say well done to the sound tech team? Look, the sound here is fantastic this morning, right? But a lot of you may not know, about 20 minutes before we started church, there was no sound coming through at all. The sound tech guys just did an amazing job putting things together and getting it working again. So, well done, team. Now, staying focused on the right thing can be difficult, can't it? So a couple of weeks ago, I went to get an eye test. And at one stage, they got me to look into this machine. On the machine, you could see a screen. On the screen, there's this X right in the middle. And the optometrist says to me, she says, just keep looking at the X. So I'm kind of mentally, I'm saying to myself, keep focus, keep focus. Look at the X, look at the X. In the middle of the X, look at the X. But then, of course, these lines start coming down the screen. And before I know it, I'm just looking at the lines going down, down. And I catch myself and look at the X, look at the X, look at the X. Because staying focused on the right thing can be hard. And we know this is true not just with eye tests and things like that, right? This happens in our day-to-day lives as well. Like, for example, I think we would all agree that family is more important than work, right? That's not a controversial statement. That's generally what we say. Family is more important than work. And yet, how many of us have got so caught up with work that it's overshadowed our families? It's hard to stay focused on the right thing, right? Distractions come. It's hard to stay focused on the right thing. And if this is true of getting your eyes tested, and if this is true of life in general, this is also true of what it's like to live as a Christian. We know, you know, we live in the here and now, but we also know that Jesus is coming back soon. And that's what we're really longing and looking forward to, aren't we? And yet, how often do we find ourselves just distracted by other things? So much so that perhaps we rarely think during our days. We rarely think about Jesus' return. So today we're in Mark chapter 30. Now, again, Liz did a fantastic job of reading the whole thing. It's a long passage, and it's also a bit of a tricky passage. So today I'm not going to be able to say everything I'd like to say, and in fact I might even skip over something that you're really interested in. So we're going to have, like Mark told us before, we're going to have a bit of time for Q&A a little later on. But here in Mark 13, Jesus shows us that he's a man with a vision for the future. Jesus is a man with a vision for the future, and today he's calling on us to keep focused on that future that he tells us about. Now, we're going to hear what he's got to say in a moment, but firstly, as we read through the Gospel of Mark, Mark kind of sets the scene for us. In Mark chapter 13, verse 1, we find Jesus is leaving the temple. Now, if you're here last week, you would remember this is the third day in a row that Jesus has gone to the temple. We heard about this in chapter 11 and 12 last week. In chapter 11 and 12, we found out earlier on this third day that Jesus has been at the temple, he'd spoken against the religious leaders. He said they were fruitless. And these religious leaders had led this Jewish nation to be fruitless as well, fruitless towards God. And so Jesus spoke a word of judgment against these religious leaders and the religious practices of the day. Now, as Jesus leaves the temple, one of his disciples starts talking about the building of the temple itself. They say, oh, look at that. Isn't it impressive? Isn't that magnificent, Jesus? But did you remember what Jesus said in verse 2? Jesus kind of is a bit of a downer on this. He says, do you see all these great buildings? Not one stone here will be left on another. Everyone will be thrown down. That is, if last week was a word of judgment against the religious leaders and the kind of religious practices of the day back then, today Jesus speaks a word of judgment against the central place where all that religious stuff happened, where all that worship happened. Jesus speaks a word of judgment against the temple. He says it's going to be destroyed, not one stone left on another. And for any Jewish person back then, like the disciples were, this would have rocked their world, and not in a good way. So they leave the temple. They're walking back to Bethany. You can see on the map there, it's where the kind of red marker is. This is where they've been staying each night. They don't stay in Jerusalem. They go to 3 kilometres just outside of Jerusalem to a place called Bethany. But on the way, they stop at the Mount of Olives. On the map there, that's where the arrow's pointing to, just between Jerusalem and Bethany. And they get to the Mount of Olives and they sit down, and it has a wonderful view back over Jerusalem. At Jesus' time, you could see the temple very clearly from there. These days, the temple isn't standing, but you've got the Dome of the Rock in the middle there that you can see. So they're sitting down there, they're looking back over towards the temple that Jesus has just said is going to be destroyed, when 4 of the disciples come up to Jesus and they say, can you just tell us a little bit more, Jesus? Explain what you mean. In fact, you can see what they say in verse 4. They say, tell us when these things will happen and what will be the sign that they're all about to be fulfilled. Really, they're asking Jesus 2 questions here. Number 1, when will the temple be destroyed? And number 2, what are the signs that this is about to happen? And it's as Jesus answers these 2 questions that we hear his great vision for the future. In fact, Jesus starts by answering the second question first. This is the question about the signs. What are going to be the signs that the temple will be destroyed soon? Well, Jesus says there's going to be lots of signs. And you read about them from verse 5 onwards. There's things like people trying to deceive others. There's wars. There's earthquakes. There's famines. There's persecution for believers. Turmoil and betrayal in families. Believers being hated. Jesus says these are the signs that God's judgment is coming against the temple and the fruitless Jewish religion that's there. And then Jesus says, those are the signs, and then it will happen. So verse 14 talks about the abomination that causes desolation standing where it does not belong. Now, I think we hear that and we go, that sounds bad, but also, what does he mean by that? Like, it sounds a bit weird, right? What does Jesus mean here? The abomination that causes desolation, it's actually something that comes from the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, this is the part of the Bible before Jesus. In the Old Testament, there's a prophet called Daniel, and he talks about a coming abomination that makes desolate. And by the time you skipped ahead from Daniel to Jesus' time, the Jewish people thought that has already happened. You see, about 150 years before Jesus, there was a Greek ruler called Antiochus the fourth Epiphanes. I think that's how you say his name. Good-looking man, right? He came to Jerusalem, and what he did, this Greek ruler, he took over the temple area, and he set up in the temple that was supposed to be a place where you'd worship the Lord God, he set up an altar to the Greek god Zeus, right there in the temple. And the Jews think, that's awful, that's bad. But even worse, he sacrificed a pig on that altar to Zeus. For the Jews, pigs are unclean animals. This is horrendous what they've done. But then even worse again, he made the Jewish priests eat the pig meat. The Jews of Jesus' time looked back on this 150 years earlier and they thought that's a complete abomination. But Jesus is saying that's going to happen again. And not the exact same thing, But 40 years after this, 40 years in the future, someone else comes along. Not a Greek this time, but a Roman general called Titus. He comes into Jerusalem and he takes over the city. He demolishes the city and he destroys the temple. He tears it down completely. Here is an even greater abomination, because now the temple to Israel's great God is no longer there at all. So back in Mark chapter 13, Jesus goes on and he says, when you see this happening, flee. Verse 14, he says, get out. Verse 15 and 16, don't go back for anything. It's like what we're told during bushfires, right? You know, if the bushfire is coming towards your place, get out. Don't turn around. Don't worry about your stuff. Just get out, because if you don't leave now, you might not make it. That's the kind of thing that Jesus is saying here. It's going to be such a horrible time for the Jews who are there and the Jewish Christians who are there. See, Titus, the Roman general who comes in, he didn't just destroy the temple and upend the city of Jerusalem, but then he also killed many, many people who lived there. And if you didn't get killed, then many, many more were enslaved. It's the kind of thing that if it happened today, we'd call it an atrocity. We'd put this Roman general up for war crimes. It was a time of just great distress for the people. But by saying this, Jesus is actually preparing his disciples for what is to come. Judgment is coming against the temple and the fruitless religion around it. It's coming and it's not going to be easy, so you need to be ready. But then Jesus does something that's a little bit unexpected. He stops talking about the temple and the judgment against it, and he starts talking about an even bigger judgment to come. If you've got your Bible open, have a look at verse 24. I'll read it. Have a listen to this. Jesus says, but in those days following that distress, the sun will be darkened. The moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from the sky and the heavenly bodies will be shaken. This is something bigger than just what's going on with the temple, right? This is something massive. This is something cosmic going on here. The destruction of things even bigger than the temple. This is the sun and moon and stars. And this is going to be something that affects not just one city and the people in it, but the whole world and every person in it. This is God's coming judgment, not against the temple and the empty, fruitless religion there, but against the whole world. It's a time when, in verse 26, it says, the Son of Man will come back. Jesus will come back in power and glory. And when he does, what is he going to do? Have a look at verse 27 again with me. He will send his angels to gather his elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth, to the ends of heaven. And I want us to pause here and just take a moment to hear what this means for us today. In fact, remember back to the signs that Jesus said were going to come. These are the signs that were going to come before the temple's destroyed. It was things like wars, earthquakes, famines. People trying to deceive others so they don't believe in Jesus, believers being persecuted and even hated. Those were the signs that the temple's about to be destroyed. And isn't that what the world is still like today? I mean, not all of those things are happening all of the time, constantly. There are times of peace, but there's also times of war. There are places of severe persecution in the world right now for believers. Think of a place like North Korea. But then there's also places like Australia where there isn't really much persecution of believers. There are going to be times when we particularly need to be aware that no one deceives us and leads us away from Jesus. And my point in saying this is, yes, that's what the world was like back then. And that's still what our world is like today. And it's not good, is it, friends? Sometimes this world can be an awful place to live in. So hear Jesus' words again, because these are words of comfort. Have a listen. I'm going to read from verse 26. At that time, people will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory, and he will send his angels and gather his elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of the heavens. Jesus is coming, and it will mean judgment. But this is also the time when he gathers his elect, when he gathers his people to him. And no one, not one of Jesus' people will miss out. Notice the angels go everywhere, right? To the four winds, to the ends of the earth, to the ends of heaven, everywhere. That is, Jesus, friends, he's reassuring you today. If we stay faithful to him, he'll come to us. If we stay faithful to him, he'll come for us. None will miss out. Not one of Jesus' people are out of his reach. He is coming to gather us and bring us to him. So, friends, be comforted by this news. You know, when it's hard for us day by day to hear the daily news and to hear about many of the awful things that are happening across our world, friends, be comforted, because Jesus is coming for you. When it's hard to stay true to Jesus, when there are those who want to just take you away, lead you astray, when it's hard to resist them, friends, be comforted, because Jesus is coming for you. If you ever have, or if you ever will face persecution for your faith, I want to say, friends, be ready for this, and be ready, because it's hard when it happens, and yet be comforted in that moment, because Jesus is coming for you. Well, what have we seen so far in Mark 13? Here's where we've been. Jesus is speaking about God's coming judgment. He says it's coming in two ways. Firstly, it's coming against the empty Jewish religion based around the temple. And that happened. That happened in 70 AD. The second thing that Jesus talks about there is he's talking about the final coming judgment against the entire world. That hasn't happened yet. That's going to happen when Jesus returns. So now that Jesus has done this, he's painted this picture of these two coming judgments against the world. Jesus calls on his people to be ready for both of these events. First, he talks to the disciples and the other people of that day, that time, calling on them to be ready when the temple was destroyed. Jesus has prepared them by telling them the signs to expect. And then he says in verse 28 to 31, he says, "Be ready." And he talks about a fig tree. He says, you know, you guys can tell by looking at a fig tree when summer's about to come, because you can see all the things that the fig tree does before summer. He says, in the same way, learn from the signs that I've told you about. When you see these signs, be ready for the temple to be destroyed, because Jesus says in verse 30, it's going to happen in your generation. Not you here, but the generation he was initially talking to. And it did. Again, just 40 years after Jesus said these words, the temple was destroyed. Jesus is preparing the disciples back then so that they would be ready for the coming destruction of the temple and all that came along with that. But then, in verse 32 to 37, Jesus goes on to talk about that second judgment again, God's judgment against the world, the time when Jesus comes back. And here, now, Jesus is preparing all believers in the generations that are going to come, including us. Here Jesus is telling us to be ready too. Because Jesus coming back and God's judgment against the whole world, That's not like the destruction of the temple. Jesus said that was going to happen within that generation's lifetime. But when Jesus comes back, well, verse 32 says no one knows when the Son will return. No one knows when Jesus is coming back. Only the Father knows that. So we mustn't presume that we do know. And we also mustn't be distracted by those who do say that they know. Only the Father knows. Instead, what are we to do? Verse 33, Jesus says, be on guard. Be alert. And to show us what he means, Jesus tells it's a little parable, right? He tells a story of a man who goes away and he puts in servants in of the house in charge of various things to do in the house. Which, you know, I should say here, Jesus is not endorsing slavery at this point. He's just using a common part of life back in the day to illustrate a point. And his point is this: if the man comes back and the servants have kind of slacked off, well, things won't go very well for them, will they? So like those servants, Jesus says to us, be on guard. Be alert. Keep watch. It's all a way of saying, make sure you're ready, friends. Don't be sidetracked. Don't be distracted. But stay focused on the right thing. Jesus is coming back. No one knows when, so you don't need to look for signs. But what you need to be is ready. Let me ask a question for you. A question for you to think about. What's your vision for the future? That is, what is it that you're planning for? What is it that you're looking forward to? What are your dreams about the next 5, 10, 30 years? Not a rhetorical question. I want you to really think about this in your head. I know some of us here are big planners. We've kind of got things mapped out that in 5 years we'd like to be here, and then in 10 years we'd like to be there, and in 20 years we'd like to be doing this. Others of us, though, we're not quite that detailed in our plans. And when we think about the future, we kind of, it's not that we think about nothing. There's still some kind of idea, some blurry idea about the kinds of things we'd like to see happening in our lives. So whatever it is, whether you've got a blurry picture or you've got a detailed plan or somewhere in between, what is your vision for the future? What are you hoping for? What are you planning towards? What do you want? Whatever that is for you, I want you to bring that into your mind now. Don't need to tell anyone, just bring it into your mind. You got it there? Keep that in mind. Because here's the big question I want to ask you today. How does your vision for the future compare with Jesus' vision for the future? How does your great hopes and dreams about what will come compare with Jesus and what he says about his coming, what he says about his return, what he says about gathering his people to himself? Can I have a moment of honesty with you now? Because I was thinking about this over the past week, and I'm thinking to myself, I think all too often I just... Maybe I'm the only one here, but I just don't have Jesus' vision for the future, right? It's like when I get my eyes checked, I'm told I should be looking at the X, but I'm so distracted by the lines coming down. I'm so distracted by other things that just happen. I know Jesus is coming back, and I know that's where things are headed. I know that's going to be the best thing for me, but I'm just so distracted from it through day-to-day life. And it got me thinking, what are the things that are the big distractors for us in Australia in 2026? I thought of some here. Maybe you've got some other ideas as well. Chat about this with each other later on if you'd like. But here are some things I thought of. One thing that distracts us so easily in Australia today is the distraction of wealth, right? Like we have stuff and often we want a bit more stuff, and it can be so easy just to try and pursue that, chase after that, because there's something about wealth that tends to make life easier and gives me a feeling of security in my life. That's one distraction. There's another distraction, I think. It's the distraction of just being busy. Busyness. Life is so busy, and we're running from one thing to the next, and there's so much to do, and we spend our lives trying to do it all, and that's what our heads end up being filled with, right? Just all the different things that we're trying to do in life. Big distraction. Here's another one. Isn't it so easy to be distracted by all the entertainment that's just there today? And there's Netflix and Prime and HBO Max and Stan and Disney Plus and Binge and however many other streaming services you can name. Well, there's, you know, endless books, there's the cinemas, there's stage shows, there's concerts, there's live sport, and on and on and on you go. There's entertainment all around us, and in some ways it's lovely, but it's a huge distraction, right? Now, I should say, it's not that any of these things are wrong or bad or evil. There's nothing inherently evil about, you know, money or being busy or watching a telly show. But we just need to be aware how easily they can distract us. They can take our focus off the main thing, the important thing, the things that really matter. They distract us from where our life is truly headed. Let me put the question to you in perhaps a little bit of a sharper way. Do I have Jesus' vision for my future, or do I have my vision for my future? Do I have Jesus' vision for my future, or have I just become distracted by some good things, some really nice things, but things that were never meant to be what life was ultimately about? Today, friends, do you hear our Lord Jesus calling on us all? He's calling on us to have his vision of the future and to let that shape how we live our lives now. To have his vision of the future front and center, knowing that he is coming back soon so that we can live our lives correctly, rightly. Knowing that's where everything is headed. You see, if we're just too distracted by other things, we end up wasting this life, using it in things that aren't necessarily bad, but are never what life was supposed to be about. But if we hear Jesus, and if we have his vision for the future, it will mean we can use our lives well, knowing what is to come. Staying focused on the right thing can be hard, can't it, friends? So we need to keep what Jesus says at the front and center. In fact, I'm going to pray that we do that now, that we would not be those who are distracted from Jesus' great vision of the future. Will you pray with me? Our Lord and God, we hear the call of our Lord Jesus today. We hear him tell us what will happen. He doesn't tell us when, but he tells us that he's coming. And he tells us to be alert, to keep watch, to stay awake. He tells us to be ready. So we pray, Lord God, that we would be ready. Father, we're aware of the distractions that are all around us. We're aware that we can so easily fall into being distracted by them and keeping our focus not on Jesus, but on other things. And so we just want to come to you now and ask for your help. Please help us stay focused on the right thing and to build our lives on that foundation. Please keep us from distractions that pull us away. Please, Father, work powerfully in us so that we have Jesus' vision for our lives and our future in all that we do. We ask for your help with this in Jesus' name. Amen.